Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're zoning in on our own backyard, Deer Park, La Porte, and Pasadena, Texas.
Right.
Many of you probably wonder what really built this place, you know?
Yeah.
What shaped the community?
Exactly.
So today, we're digging into the roots, specifically the early businesses, mostly focusing on La Porte based on the sources we've got.
Yeah, the goal here is to uncover those stories, the businesses that laid the groundwork.
More than just names, right?
Definitely. We want to see what these early ventures tell us about the area's character, its resilience, too.
Okay, let's get right into it then. It seems, despite setbacks like fires, storms, hotels were among the very first things built here.
That's right. Sources mention the Ballantine La Porte Hotel, the Artesian Hotel, examples of early hospitality.
Which is interesting. Makes you think about what the priority was. Maybe connection? Travelers?
Could be. These places weren't just beds, you know. They were meeting spots. News traveled with the visitors. Locals connected there.
Makes sense. La Porte as a connecting point, maybe.
Early on. It seems plausible, whether for people passing through or maybe those looking to put down roots.
And keeping people informed. Newspapers were key. We saw the La Porte Chronicle started around 1891.
Yeah, and the La Porte Herald followed in 1899.
Vital information channels back then.
Absolutely crucial. Even if they were just a few pages, these weeklies, they announced everything. Elections, social gatherings.
And importantly for us today, they advertise local businesses.
Exactly. That gives us a fantastic window into what was actually available, who was selling what.
Okay, so beyond news and a place to stay, what about just everyday stuff? Food?
Well, even late 19th century, you had options. Shark ice cream crops up, offering fresh dairy.
Fresh dairy, huh? Interesting.
Yeah, hints at some early local agriculture, maybe?
Yeah.
And A.O. Blackwell shows up as an early grocer, a commissary-type place.
So people could get essentials locally, building self-sufficiency.
That seems to be the drive.
Yeah.
Establishing local supply lines early on.
And it wasn't just food. We saw M.K. Morris starting the La Porte Lumber Company.
Right. And several families in hardware. Parker, Johnson, Shannon, Hovey, Slusher.
Plus A.H. Willits constructing brick buildings. Feels like a community literally building itself.
Definitely. The lumber company, multiple hardware stores.
Mm.
Tells you there was a lot of construction going on.
People building their own town, really.
A strong sense of self-reliance, seems like. Investing in their own infrastructure.
And interesting note here, leisure wasn't ignored. Frank Coleman and Floyd Simpson had a restaurant near Sylvan Beach.
Yeah, that's a key point. Even early, there's this idea of balancing work and, well, life, recreation.
Suggests they wanted a well-rounded place, not just commerce.
Exactly. Appreciating quality of life, having social spots from the get-go.
Now, here's a great detail. Hayes Hamilton, an early settler, became the town's first iceman. Apparently, he'd travel all the way to Houston.
In a wagon.
Yeah, every 2 weeks just to get ice, around the turn of the 20th century.
Wow. That really paints a picture, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The effort involved for something we just don't even think about.
Shows ingenuity. And how reliant they were on outside places for something.
For sure. His initiative, providing ice, that's early La Porte entrepreneurship right there.
We also saw Richard Baker and his wife, May Bush. They ran several businesses.
Including the Panama Grocery, starting way back in 1895.
So multiple independent groceries before supermarkets took over.
Right. Different shopping experience back then, probably.
His arsenal.
Likely. Store owners knew their customers, probably served specific neighborhoods. A more community-focused kind of commerce.
Then there's the B.F. Howold building. Sounds significant. Two stories, mercantile, in Newtown.
Yeah, a major early building. It even housed a movie house later on.
And it survived the 1915 hurricane.
Amazingly, yeah. Just minor damage. That building must have been a real anchor.
What exactly is a mercantile building, like a department store?
Sort of. It would typically offer a bit of everything, dry goods, maybe hardware, clothes, household items. All under one roof.
Its survival makes it a landmark, but also kind of a symbol, maybe, of resilience.
I think so. And its later use as a cinema shows how the community and its buildings adapted.
We also read about the Johnson Building on Main Street around 1900. Housed a funeral parlor.
Yeah, and apparently sometimes called the Johnson Hotel.
That's quite a mix.
True.
Funeral parlor and hotel.
Well, in smaller developing towns, space was often flexible. Might have been practical then.
Resources were maybe used differently.
Probably. Scale was smaller. Maybe services were more integrated into daily life.
And the Lisenby Grocery later became an IGA, described as a gossip and grab grocer.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Highlights the social side, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Apparently connected to other businesses too, even a saloon. And John Lazenby played in the town's first band.
See, these places were more than just shops. They were social hubs.
Where people connected, shared news, the gossip part.
Exactly, part of the community fabric. That interconnectedness is really clear there.
Okay, moving into the early to mid-20th century, infrastructure starts developing more. Industries pop up.
Right, like the Broadway Wharf, down at the end of Broadway Street.
Used for transferring lumber, other materials.
And then a sawmill opened nearby on the San Jacinto Bayou. Shows La Porte connecting to regional trade.
What kind of impact would a local sawmill have?
Oh, huge. Processing lumber locally, big boost for construction, creates jobs, fuels growth, strengthens that connection to the wider economy.
Interesting, too, the attempts at agriculture. Some things didn't work, but figs did well here.
Yeah, the climate was right for them.
And then there's Henry Benjamin, Happy Harrison, a former baseball player.
That's the one. Started a fig farm, even a cannery.
And later became mayor.
Quite the career path. Shows that local adaptability, people contributing in multiple ways.
Investing deeply in the community.
For sure. His fig farm helped the economy. His mayorship showed civic leadership. Individuals really could shape the town.
We also saw the Bratton Horseshoeing and Wagon Works from around 1895.
A reminder of essential trades back then. Blacksmithing was vital.
And it says descendants were still in La Porte when this source was written. That's a real long-term connection.
It really speaks to those deep local roots, families sticking with the community, contributing across generations.
The Besson Building comes up again. A dramatic story this time.
The three-story one at 2nd and Main.
Yeah. Had an early car fueling setup, gasoline in barrels.
You imagine.
Hosted a Chamber of Commerce banquet later, but then destroyed in the 1915 fire.
And the fire started the fueling station, progress and risk hand in hand.
Yeah. And the photo apparently shows the first permanent schoolhouse in the background.
It's all happening at once. Education, commerce, new tech, and the dangers that came with it.
We also meet Gertrude Ackerley. Businesswoman, had a ladies' goods shop on Main.
And she was interested in local history, too.
It's great seeing that early community engagement beyond just running the shop.
Suggests these early owners felt a real connection to the town's identity, wanted to preserve its stories, strengthens the social fabric.
La Porte Hardware, Main, and Second. There's a photo detail mentioned. Mrs. Slusher driving the family runabout.
Love that. Shows you a bit of personality.
The store was later sold to John Willard Hovey and his wife in 1927. And the Hoveys' parents were also in business here.
And descendants still live there.
Right. Plus, the Shannons were another hardware family. Their store was apparently packed during a parade photo. Hardware seems like a big family thing here.
Really emphasizes that family-owned nature of early La Porte business. Multi-generational involvement, long-term commitment. These weren't just stores. They were part of the social scene, part of celebrations.
And rounding out this period, the Freemasons established a lodge in 1902, Lodge 857.
Shows the growth of civic organizations. Important for community development, unity.
Providing connection, support, ways to get involved.
Exactly. Strengthening those community bonds.
Okay, moving into the mid-20th century now. We see familiar names continuing. The Sharp family again.
George H. Sharp's grain and feed business started around 1928, corner of Main and Second.
Became a real landmark, it says, for residents and tourists.
Yeah, businesses that stick around like that, they become part of the town's identity. Consistent service, generations of customers. They foster that sense of continuity.
Like the Art Simpson Funeral Home, started in 49, still operates today as the Paul U. Lee Funeral Home.
Incredible longevity, serving the community through really significant life moments.
Shows the trust built over decades, a vital role.
Absolutely. Deep commitment, lasting relationships.
Then there's the Sayers Building, Main and First, briefly housed the La Porte News with a typesetting machine.
And a big infrastructure step. Main Street got paved with concrete in 1925.
How big a deal would that have been, paving Main Street?
Transformative. Easier transport for goods people, less dust, less mud. Makes the town center more accessible, more appealing. Probably boosted commerce too.
Makes sense. And right there in that newly paved area, Jim Simpson's Pharmacy opened in 1929, Main and Third.
Another sign of evolving services, catering to growing health needs.
Shows a focus on well-being, right? Having a pharmacy there.
Suggests a recognition that as the town grew, you needed ready access to medical supplies, professional health services.
Here's an interesting shift. Captain Charles Ashton. He bought the Sylvan Beach and Morgan's Point Depot sites.
Yeah, after train travel started declining.
But the Sylvan Depot wasn't just lost. the Heritage Society moved it, renovated it as a museum.
Which is fantastic. Shows a real conscious effort to preserve local history as things changed.
What does that preservation say about a place?
It says the community values its past. They're proactive about keeping history alive. Shows local pride, a connection to earlier generations.
We also learn about Charles O. Williams, married Josephine Mary Andel in 1923, descendants still local.
And he had a filling station, the C.O. Williams Station, started with just a small wooden building on West Main.
Another family building lasting ties through local business, adapting too.
Exactly. From a simple wooden shed to a more established station, shows how local businesses evolved with the times and how families put down roots and contributed over generations.
And the humble filling station at Five Points in 1953, owned by F.W. Carey, shows that continued evolution of service stations.
Right. From basic gasoline sales to dedicated stations at key spots like Five Points, reflects those broader changes happening everywhere and how local businesses adapted.
Five Points seems like a real hub. There was also the Five Points Cafe in the 20s and 30s.
A central meeting place, yeah.
Yeah.
Where Main, San Jacinto, and Broadway all came together.
They even did landscaping there later. Underscores how important those physical spaces are for community interaction.
Definitely. Cafes, stores, they're informal gathering spots. Fosters that sense of community. Yeah. The landscaping shows a civic desire to make the center attractive, welcoming.
We also saw Pfeiffer Electric Company and Counts Shoe Repair sharing a building around 1922.
Philip Pfeiffer started his electric company way back in 1913, bringing modern utilities in.
And descendants are still around. George Counts from the shoe repair became a judge.
Amazing, isn't it? How people from these early businesses contributed in so many ways shows that deep link between commerce and civic life.
And the light plant burned down in 21, but was rebuilt. Resilience again.
A real testament to the community's determination to progress.
The Simpson Building, 200 block of Main, 1920s, housed different things over time, restaurants, shoe store.
Perfectly shows how downtown buildings adapt. Reflects changing needs, new entrepreneurs, a microcosm of the local economy.
Hughes Motor Company, the Chevy dealer in the 40s, on a corner.
It gives a little snapshot of the auto industry here, and even mentions low weekly pay back then, a historical marker.
It later became McMillan Chevrolet, so continuity there too.
Shows that ongoing evolution within the local business world.
Linwood Anderson, arrived in 39, started with a Texaco at Five Points.
Then other ventures, like the Shoe Stop.
Another story of that local entrepreneurial drive, seeing opportunities, building businesses, establishing family roots.
Contributing to the town's vitality, creating those lasting connections.
Pew Store sounds like a classic, the go-to place in the 40s and 50s.
Yeah, known for having, like, everything you needed and opening early.
Sounds perfect for a family town. The essential local general store.
A vital hub for daily life. Reflects that close-knit community feel.
And finally, theaters. LaPorte seems to have always had them, from the Port LaPorte Theater and the Picture Show.
To the Mack Theater at Five Points, and then the Newport Theater opened in 48.
Entertainment was clearly important. Leisure, culture.
Definitely. And Louis Doodle Rigby, the Newport manager, also involved in civic stuff.
That theme again, business leaders contributing to the wider community.
It's a strong thread throughout LaPorte's history.
Wow. This has been really illuminating, looking at these early LaPorte businesses.
It paints quite a picture.
You really see the resilience, you know, facing challenges but building anyway, the importance of local entrepreneurs in all sorts of fields.
And how things evolved over time.
It makes you appreciate the foundations of Deer Park, LaPorte, Pasadena. That same spirit you imagine still drives things today.
It certainly seems plausible.
Mm.
And reflecting on all this history, it does raise a question for our listeners, doesn't it? Well, thinking about this legacy of local initiative, of adaptation, what are the unique opportunities and maybe the challenges for businesses right here, right now, in Deer Park, LaPorte, Pasadena?
Good question.
And maybe more directly, how can residents, how can you play a role in supporting and shaping the future of our local economy?
It's an ongoing story.
And everyone listening is part of it, something to think about.